Well, good morning, everyone.
Welcome.
So over the last couple of weeks, we've been touching on, and last week especially, I had reminded us of the scripture in the Bible taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 13, verse 1, where the Lord appears to Joshua and he speaks and he says, "Joshua, you are getting old up in age, and there is yet much land to be possessed." And I believe that he's speaking the same thing to the church today. We know that in the natural, the way everything has been going and the things that we see around us, we know that time is running out. This dispensation of grace is coming to an end. And why would we be shocked, or why should we be amazed at it? It was always prophesied. In fact, the church, I believe, has gone so far away from the very beginnings of the church. Did you know that in the very beginning of the church, every time they gathered together, you know, because the church started in that upper room when the Holy Spirit came down, but every time they gathered together, and they gathered together every day to break bread, do you know that they mentioned the Lord's return as if it was imminent in their lifetime? That was 2,000 years ago. And they kept it alive. That was the whole purpose. That was like, yes, Jesus went back to heaven, but he's coming back for us. And yet over the years, the church hasn't been, every once in a while we do a special sermon on the end, or when the second coming of Jesus. But yet in the original, way back in the beginning when the church was first formed, it was something that was brought out every time. And when you read through the scriptures, you will see it every 30 verses. It talks about the second coming of Jesus. And so why is it that when you speak on these kinds of things, a lot of times in churches, people get turned off? It's like, really? Yeah, no, come on. What, do you think that the scripture says it in vain? It is happening, and it is going to happen. Now, nobody knows the hour, the day, even the year. But we can see. The Bible says we're not children of the dark. We're children of the day, so that we are not overtaken by this as a thief in the night. We can see the signs all around us. And so it's so vitally important. And I believe that's why the Lord is really dealing with the church today, that there is much land yet that you need to possess before this dispensation of grace is over. And these words, I believe, are being spoken to the church, just like he spoke these words to the children of Israel through Joshua, who was getting old and up in age. And he said, you know, Josh, you're about to pass on to the next life, and yet I've called you to lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land, that they may possess their inheritance, which I promised Abraham. There was a promised inheritance. There was the promised land. Now, we know that this inheritance that is spoken of in the Bible, the promised land, is just symbolic. Everything in the Old Testament is a shadow and a symbol of what we have, of the reality of what we have today. So we know that that land was only symbolic of the life that God has given us, the land, which is Christ himself, who is the land of rest. It is Jesus himself. This land that the Israelites were to enter into was a land that was a good and fruitful land. And they were going to live in houses they didn't build. Okay? In other words, there was no work. And that's like entering into the rest. Jesus has done it all. Okay? All you do is rest in Jesus and receive all that he's done. It was a land where they drank from wells they didn't dig. It was a land, where everything was provided. Somebody else did the work. And that is actually a picture of the rest of Jesus. Jesus did all the work so that you could have all the blessing. Okay? So our job, or I shouldn't use the word job, but our part in receiving our promised land, which is our inheritance, is to simply rest in what Jesus has done. Okay? And so what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church at this hour is, you have not received your inheritance yet. And I believe that, I know that someday in heaven, you know, we look at this through, like it's a shadow. You know, everything to us is a shadow. We don't see the reality of it. But I know someday when you see God face to face, you're going to know all things. And you're going to cry. You're going to have tears of regret because you're going to see what it was God had for you and you didn't receive it. And so this isn't just a nice little message that you hear. This is serious stuff. This is something that God wants you to walk in. It brings him glory. Now, let's continue on. So we know that this land that God spoke to Joshua about and said, there's much land yet to be possessed, is speaking to us today saying there is many blessings in Christ that you are yet to inherit. You need to step into your inheritance. And even though this inheritance we know is freely given, because it's a land where we just rest, we also must possess it by faith. Just like the Israelites had to possess the land. They had to go in. They had to destroy the enemy and take the land back. Now, the confidence they had was that God had already given it to them. So they knew going in that the victory was theirs. But they still had to go in and possess it. And that's the same thing today. You know, you've already got the promised land. You already are in Christ and all of his blessings belongs to you, but you have to possess it. You have to possess it. How do we possess our promised land? Through faith. We must possess it by faith. And there is a battle going on. And that's why the Bible calls it the fight of faith. We are fighting the good fight of faith. It's ours, but you need to possess it. And you need to possess it by your faith. Just like in the old covenant or back in the days of Joshua, when they went in to possess the land, there was going to be a battle. Oh yeah, they knew it, but they also knew they had the victory. And we can also know, going into this battle, we have the victory. When we go to possess our promised land, whether it's prosperity, health, I don't know, what is it that you're wanting? You can know before you step into that arena, and that's why it's called a good fight. You know you've already got the victory. You've got the victory. So this battle, though, that we're not fighting demons. We're not fighting principalities and wicked rulers in high places. What are you fighting? Where's the battle that you're going to have to undergo? Right up here, between your eyeballs. That's where the battle takes place. We are told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. See, it's up to you. The word lay hold means to seize, possess, possess it. Lay hold in eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith, whereunto you are also called. Did you know that you are the called of God? Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. You are the called of God. God has called you each by name. What has he called you to? He has called you to live by faith. That's what he's called you to. If you want to know what your calling is, you are called to live by faith. Three times it is written in the New Covenant that the just shall live by faith. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews that without it, you cannot be pleasing to God. 2 weeks in a row now I've used this expression. If you want to draw the attention of God to yourself, you want to stand out, walk by faith. Faith grabs the attention of our Father. Like you wouldn't even understand. We have been led to believe that God is pleased and impressed with our performance. Now, nothing wrong with a good performance, okay? God expects us to live good lives. Lives that glorify him. But what really gets God is when he sees someone walking by faith. Remember the story of Job where Satan comes before God and he says, and God point, actually it's God who points Job out. Have you seen my servant Job? You see, Job believed God's word. Job was, and in God's eyes, that was like, did you notice Job? The rest he never said anything about, but Job. Why? Because Job actually believed the word of God. And so, you know, those that believe the word of God, that's why Jesus said, when he said to his disciples while he was walking with him, he says, when the Son of Man comes back, is he going to find faith on the earth? That's what he's looking for. Faith. Faith. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. So how can we explain in a very simple way so that we can grab hold of it in our minds and not make this thing such a big, oh, I can live by faith. Because faith should be something that's natural to a believer. It's not something you have to try to do. And yet, somehow we've made it so difficult. We have made faith into a work of the flesh that people don't even want to step out and even try, because they've seen other people step out and try, and it didn't work. But I think it's been taught, it's been brought across in a way that's made it so hard for us. And we know who's behind that. Faith ought to be a simple thing. Do your children struggle to trust you? Do they every morning think, oh, I must trust Dad today. I must trust Mom. No, it's a natural thing. They're your children. They know you. They have a relationship with you. They trust you. And that's how it ought to be with us and the Lord. We ought to it ought to be a natural, because we're born of him. We ought to trust God. So how can we explain very simply what it means to live by faith? Well, it simply means to live by God's word. Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, Jesus says this: man shall not live by bread alone, meaning physical food alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Living a life of faith is impossible. Did you know that? Without God's word. To live a life of the God kind of faith is impossible without God's word. And even when we have the word or know the word, we really In most cases, we don't trust it like we should. We don't. We say we trust God, but yet when we come to his word, it's like, well. Now, you might have just received, we're going to use an example. I'll explain what I'm talking about. You might have just received a very, very negative report from your doctor. Now, your body is telling you, it's screaming at you, that what he has said is correct. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. This thing is raging. I can feel it. All the symptoms are very real. But God's word, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, by his stripe you are healed. It doesn't say you're going to be. It says you are the healed. The blessing is part of your inheritance. It's part of the promised land. But the problem with us, most Christians, I don't include myself in that, is that we don't walk by faith until we have a problem. We don't think about health unless we have a pain in our body, right? You don't. And it's like that with every area of God's word. We don't think about things until we get attacked in that area. And it's like, oh, bless God. And now, you know, you're trying to work up the faith to walk through this. You know what? That's not the type of life God. Because then you're going from one crisis to another, and you just, like, your whole life is just all wrapped up in trying to solve your problems. That's not the life of rest that God's called us to. So we don't usually step out in faith until we have a problem. And so we don't think much about our health until it's attacked. But once, I'm going to tell you something for free, once you're sick, once it's settled into your body, it is a lot harder to walk by faith. A lot harder. And so they always say preventative is better than trying to deal with it once it's attacked full on. So last week we read from Psalm 103, and I'm going to bring this out again. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So in other words, praise my God. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all of his benefits. Not one. Do not forget them. Health is a blessing. It says he forgives all of our sins. He heals all of our diseases. How often do you ponder that and give thanks for it? Because that is walking in preventative medicine. Without knowing that word, you can't speak those things. You need to give thanks for the things you do have. That's walking in faith. So that if you ever get attacked in that area, you don't even entertain it for a moment. Why? Because you have been confessing God's word while you were in health. Do you understand? That's walking and living by faith. It's not living from crisis to crisis and trying to get through. It's every day. And the thing that you are the most grateful for in your life is the thing that is guarded, it is growing, it is increasing in life. Do you understand? But the thing you ignore, you really, that's the place where you need to, you know, God says give thanks in all things. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why? Because what you are doing is you're walking by faith. You're giving thanksgiving, not because you're young or you live a good lifestyle or whatever. That's not why you're healthy. I'm healthy because it is a blessing from God. There are many babies born sick in this world. There are many young people that are dying of cancer. You are blessed. You have health. Give thanks for it. That's walking by faith. And know that it's because he's blessed you with health. That's how we live by faith. Forget not one of all of his benefits. But even if we are here today and we're facing a problem or a circumstance that is contrary to the blessing that Jesus gives us or our promised land or our inheritance, your faith is still all you need. Your faith is all you need. And I'm trying to show you what the Holy Spirit is showing me about how we ought to approach this whole thing with such joy. Because we are absolutely assured of the victory in Christ. So, first of all, let's ask ourselves, where does faith come from? Who's crying? Where does faith come from? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God's word. Did you know there's no other way to get faith? And without it, you cannot please God. And yet we spend so much time running after other things, other information, other things that are going to help to give us a good quality of life. How much time do we spend looking to the Word? Well, someday, just before you meet your Maker, when you know your life is over, when you are lying on your deathbed, and let's say you have a chance to even ponder life, you are certainly not going to say, I should have spent a little more time learning more about that problem so that I could have made a little more money. No, your regret is going to be, I wish I would have taken more time in the Word of God. I wish you were going to always look to the things that really are the most important. There's no other way to acquire the God kind of faith except through God's word. So to live by faith, I'm going to say it this way, really, is to live by the word of God, because your faith is the word of God. If you hadn't heard the word of God, you would have no faith in God. John chapter 1 verse 1 says this, in the beginning was the word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's stop there for a minute. Shouldn't it say in the beginning was God? It doesn't say that. It says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word, and without the Word of God, not anything that was made was made. In him, in the word of God, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Comprehendeth it not. What does the word comprehend mean? It means the darkness cannot put out the light. Light always overpowers darkness. Okay? You know that, even in the natural. It can be dark, but if you put on a light, darkness flees. It's the same way in the spirit. Darkness cannot come against light. Darkness flees. And I've been hearing a lot about that with some of the testimonies. They all speak about this light, this amazing light, and how if there's any darkness or demonic activity that they're seeing in the spirit, all that has to, Jesus, just the light comes, and I mean, they just tick off, shriek in terror. All things were made by the word of God, by him. Without the word, everything that is made, nothing was made that is made. Now, look around you. This whole universe was made, how? By God's word. There's nothing that was made any other way. Without God's word, nothing that is made was made. And we forget that. Drop down to verse 14, and it says, and the word, who is, of course, we know Jesus, became flesh, put on a body, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word of God that created everything, without that word, nothing that was created could have been made or was made. That same word put on a body, came to the earth, and his name was Jesus. So who is Jesus? He is the revelation of God. That's who Jesus is, the creator of all things. The Bible tells us in him was life. In the word was the life. And that life in that word, who is Jesus, was the light of men. None of us have seen God at any time, right? In fact, in the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, it says this. When Moses says to God, after he sees him in the burning bush, right? He's fascinated with this God. Like, who are you? And then at one point, and then of course God calls him to, I've chosen you to lead my people out of Egypt and to take them into the promised land. That's what Moses was supposed to be, the deliverer, right? Kind of a type and a shadow of Jesus. And at one point, Moses, who has gone up into the mount to receive the Ten Commandments, and he's basking in just the glory of God. His face is shining when he comes down off the mountain as he's in the presence of God. But at one point in Exodus chapter 33, he says to God, God, I want to see you. I want to see you with my eyes. I want to see your glory. He says, I beseech you. In other words, the word beseech is beg you. I beg you, Father, God, I want to see you. What does God reply? He said, no man has seen my face and will live. Think about that for a minute. No man. Now, when he said no man, he was referring to us in the flesh. No man of the flesh can see the face of God and live. Do you know of anything in this world that carries that same power, so to speak? Nothing. No man can see the face of God and live. So that tells us a lot about God. You know, ponder that very truth. So when I speak about God, our Father, in this light, I am speaking about his word. Because God in his word, we just read it, John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And so the word of God is God. And no man can see the face of God. So I'm trying to show you the power in the word of God. There is so much power. We don't see it. We're so dull. We think of God as just, you know, like he's this being up in heaven. We don't stop and really ponder what the Bible tells us about him. And that he really is the word of God. And that we walk around and we carry this book, the written word of God. And what I'm trying to do to you today, or in you today, is to create faith. Faith in what? Faith in that word. Because that's the faith you need in order to walk strong in these last days. So God is so glorious and powerful that you can't even, I mean, most of the times in the Bible where it even gives us scenes in heaven, everybody's like this, like they can't even look. And remember, we've heard different stories told by different people who have had heaven experiences. And I'll never forget Jesse Duplantis's experience. He never saw the face of God. He said all he saw was kind of the throne and the feet, but he saw God's hand sitting, kind of resting on his knee. And when the little finger, he said, I saw his little finger quirk. Just like that. He said, and it was like the power that came from that was just, everything was flying around in the throne room, and it was like thunders and lightnings. And you see, God is so powerful. And no wonder the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is so awesome. And someday soon, we're going to see him face to face, because we're going to have our glorified bodies and we're going to be able to look directly into the face of God. And in that day, I have no idea how it's going to be or how it's going to feel, but I know we're all going to fall flat on our faces. Because in this world, the enemy has so blinded us to our Father and to who he really is. But aren't you glad that he sent Jesus in the flesh, so that he could be relatable? He wanted to relate to you, but he knew in that form he can't relate. It's so far above anything we could even imagine, and we've fallen so far because of sin, so far. Can you imagine? We think that once the church is gone, oh, well, you know, we don't understand. People think, you know, they hear about the rapture, they're not believers. But do you know that we carry that light, the light of our master on the inside of us? We carry that life. And we have no idea what it's going to be like when we're gone. Like, you don't understand that the presence that you carry with you. You know, people think, oh, this world's not so bad. Yeah, it's because we're here. You remove the Christian, you remove the light from this world, and even the atmosphere begins to change. We don't realize the presence of God, the blessing that it is to this earth. We have no idea. Why? Because we underestimate who God is and who we are in him, because that light in you is the Master's light. It is who God is. So none of us have seen our Father face to face. But you got to remember, in the glory of who he is the Word. That Word carries the same glory. In the Word, the Bible tells us, was life, and this life was the light of men, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness can't even touch it. Jesus is the Word of God. He is God. He was the spoken Word in the beginning when God created the universe. Light be, and light was, and God saw that it was good. God created all things through his spoken Word, who is Jesus. He was the same when he came down in a human form. Now he's the living Word. Okay, we have the spoken Word that created. Then we have Jesus in a flesh body. He is the living Word. He came to bring God's Word to life so that we could even comprehend it. But now Jesus is no longer here. He has gone back to the right hand. He's seated now at the right hand of the Father. But what have we got today? We've got the written Word, which is this book that we read and study. It is the written Word, and it is just as powerful. It is God, the spoken Word, the living Word, and then you have the written Word. And so when we talk about Bible study, when we talk about reading the scriptures, when we talk about approaching the Word of God, we sometimes think of it as, I got to read the Word, I got to memorize the Word. We do not understand what we're dealing with, what we're handling. This is God Himself, the power that I'm just describing to you about when you see God face to face. That's in this Word. The Word is God. And so you need to see the Word of God differently than we have been. We apply God's Word and we just hope something happens. It is the most powerful thing in the universe. Just like I say God is the most powerful thing, you can say, oh yes and amen, but so is His Word, because His Word is God. And so we need to see that book like that. And when you finally get the revelation of that, then I'll tell you what, when you speak that word, when you use that word, I'll tell you every demon in hell is going to flee and shriek in terror. Everything, because the Bible says at His name, at everything has to, everything that has a name has to bow to that name. And we know that the name of Jesus, it's the name of the Word. The Word of God is named Jesus. And when you use that name, and you speak to anything, all of the power of the Word of God comes to play, comes to back that name, because He is the Word. And so it's time we stop playing church. It's time we stop just tampering a little bit here, a little bit there. We've got to get serious about the Word of God and what we're dealing with here. The enemy just loves to keep you in the dark. Jesus is the spoken Word, and He lives in you. His light is in you. It is the most powerful thing in the universe. I'm going to say that again. It is the most powerful thing in the universe. And someday when Jesus comes back, you know, we look around and we get afraid with the things that are going on in the world today. I mean, there was so much fear. I'm not saying that we here or I'm not saying everybody came in under this fear, but the world was under a lot of fear over the pandemic. There's no doubt about it. And now there's this great fear about, you know, global warming and the world burning up. And, you know, within, 10 years, civilization as we know it is going to be over because of the global warming. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, or maybe it's the fear of inflation or famine on the rise, or maybe it's the fear of the wars that you're hearing about and rumors of wars. Now, Jesus even said, all of these things must happen. Like, don't be troubled. They're going to happen. Because all of these things God is using to bring this dispensation of grace age that we're in to a culmination where Jesus Christ returns. There's nothing we're going to do to stop it. God is using what's happening in the world today. He's setting everything up to bring in and usher in finally the Savior. And I don't know about you, but I say every day, come Lord Jesus, come. So the greatest power that is in the universe is God. And the greatest power is the Word of God. And that's why when we look around and see what's happening in the world today, and you go right to the root of it, you know, we have to go to the root causes, you can see it's an attack. The enemy is attacking truth. What is truth? Truth is God's Word. Why? He has got to wipe it out. That's why slowly over the years, you've seen the, you know, prayer being pulled out of schools. You're not allowed to even put Christmas on a Christmas card anymore, because he wants it out. He wants God gone. He wants to ban it. He wants to make the Word of God obsolete. And it's almost funny in the light of who God is. But that's what he's trying to do. But you don't know that, and he's banking on the fact that you're ignorant. Ah, yeah, even in churches today, they're picking and choosing what they're believing. They're saying a lot of this book is now it's not relevant to where we live today. So they're changing it. That's scary stuff. That's scary stuff. The Lord taught me many years ago that when I handled this book, to the best of my understanding, I pray and believe for the truth. I don't ever want to have to be held accountable for teaching the Word of God deceitfully, picking and choosing the parts that I want to teach, or teaching it wrong. And I mean, we're all human, I'm human, and I'm sure I've taught many things that were not completely correct. But as I go forward and as I continue to dig and study, the Lord corrects me. And then I go back and hopefully I can bring out the correct understanding of the Word of God. So, but that's what's happening today. If you want to know what's happening, that's what's happening. The enemy is trying to shut down the Word of God because he knows it's what defeated him. He knows it's what's going to defeat him in your life. So he has to keep you ignorant. He has to lie to you and say, God's word is not relevant anymore. What has that got to do with anything? He's bringing in a new truth. That's why we see everything upside down. There's no more absolutes anymore. You know, males are no longer males, females are no longer. That's what this whole woke thing is about. But at the root of it all is to destroy and to rid the world of the Word of God. Because the enemy can't take over. Because that Word is a light that shines in us. And as long as that Word is prevalent on the earth, he cannot have control. Do you think he doesn't know the power of that Word? He was there. Remember, God created the enemy. We have no idea how many thousands of years they lived with God. They saw how God operated. So do you think he's not aware of the power in that word? He is very aware, and he trembles and fears the word of God. In fact, Satan, who is the god of all darkness, the god of the dark world, cannot in any way come against God's word. He has to flee. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, at the very end of the age when Jesus finally comes back at that last great big battle, which is going to take place in the valley, we call it Armageddon, and it's going to be in a valley, and it's going to be between I'm not going to say what it is because I'm not exactly 100% sure which mount, the Mount of Olives, I think, and anyways, that's where it's going to be fought, and it's going to be the last battle. And if the Lord does not intervene, because this is at the end of the 7-year tribulation, and the earth is completely destroyed, it's burnt up with fire, the lakes, the rivers, everything's dried up, we have no idea what's going to happen once we're out of here. It is going to get so bad. And that even just more proves to me the power that we have while we're still on the earth. And we don't know it. But the Bible says that you're going to want to die, and you won't be able to die. That's how bad it's going to be. And so at the very end, when everyone has come to the battle, all the people have come to fight, God, Jesus, comes back at that very last moment. And it says, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, who is Satan, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth. What is that? His word. And the brightness of his coming. I mean, all Jesus isn't going to have to fight. He's just going to have to show up. And that's it. It's over. Now, I'm trying to paint a picture for you to show you the power. And yes, we're not Jesus, but we have the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the sharpest, most powerful thing in the world. And it's in you. This light is in you. Now, it talks about the treasure in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 4. Yeah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or is it verse 10? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's go there. It's this treasure that's on the inside of us. Do you know what treasure is in you? Do you even ponder how precious this treasure really is? Yes, it's chapter 4. It says, in whom the god of this world has blinded. We're talking about the spirits of darkness. We have blinded the minds of them that believe not, unless the light of the word of God, which is the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine into them. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, okay, he said, light be, and light was. It says has shined in our hearts to give this light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So you have the treasure of this light in your heart. It's in there. And it's powerful. It is the word of God. So this light, this brightness is on the inside of every person that is born of the Spirit. Are you born of the Spirit this morning? Then you have this light. If we say we trust Jesus, then we must also trust his word. You cannot say, I trust Jesus and don't trust his word, because Jesus is the word. To trust Jesus is to trust his word. And to trust his word is to trust Jesus. Every word in this book you must see as a gift from God. It's a gift. It gives you the power to have what that word says is yours. And yes, we live with all kinds of threats around us. And as long as we're in this flesh body, we're subject. We know that everything is passing away because of Adam's sin, the curse that came on the world. But you know, the enemy also knows. And I mean, this goes right back to the garden. What was the thing that he needed to do with Adam and Eve? God said to Adam and Eve, you can eat freely of every tree, but there's one tree you don't touch. So what does the enemy do? He comes along. He says, oh, surely God didn't say that. God knows that in the day you eat. You see how he twisted? What did he have to do? He had to attack God's truth. And he's doing the same thing today. He's still doing it. He's got no new tricks. You go to the Bible and you find a truth that is contrary to your situation, and you say, oh, bless God, the word of God says that I am healed. And so you begin to confess it, you begin to believe it, meditate on it. The devil comes along and says, ah, surely you don't believe that. I mean, that pain you had last night, it was worse than ever. It's getting worse. You know, so what does he want from you? He wants the word, because it's the word that destroys him. You can do all the good deeds you want, and he don't care. But it's the word of God. Don't turn to the word, because the moment you do, he will attack you. He will come against you. Because that's the thing that destroyed him. That's what he wants to remove from the face of the earth. So everything that's going on around us, and you maybe wonder, what in the world is that all about? It's all about that. The enemy's behind it, and he wants to destroy the word of God. He wants to take that truth, right, banish it right from the earth. So that he can take over. He can't take over as long as the word is here. As long as the word is being held up. So, this word of God is the weapons. The Bible tells us the weapons of our warfare is not carnal. It's not of this world, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. And so these are weapons. These are weapons that we need to use in order to experience life. Because in that word is life. So every word in this book is a gift from God. And even in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, when Jesus was taken up to the mountain, remember, after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit led him up into the mountain to be tempted. That doesn't make any sense to us. You wonder, why was Jesus tempted? Well, I believe that he was taking it for us. Everything that Jesus did was for our benefit. Okay, so how did he deal with the devil? When the enemy came against him and said, well, you know, why don't you do this? And you, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdom. Just shows right there that the kingdom did belong and does belong still to Satan. It was given to Adam and Eve, but Adam and Eve gave it to Satan. What does Jesus say? How does he get rid of it? Like God himself, the word himself says, devil, it is written. He tried four times, and each time Jesus said, it is written. Now, that is the same. And if Jesus used the word of God, how much more we need to use the word of God? And the problem is a lot of times we don't know what's written. We're not sure. And so when the enemy attacks us in a certain area, I'm not saying every area, but there are areas in our lives, we don't even know what to say. It is written. Because we don't know the word of God. Now, I'm not saying this as a to make you feel condemned or make you feel, but it's the truth. And if you only knew what this was all about, you would read that word. You would listen to that word daily. in your podcast. You know, you may not have time to read the word. Get it into your head. And it's amazing how when you spend time reading God's word, you might think you're getting nothing out of it. And that is the truth. I mean, I've been doing this for 40 years. And some days I just read chapters and chapters and chapters and got nothing. At the end of the day, I thought, I really didn't learn anything. But here's the thing. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. And did you know that when you, it's like anything. If you see something, your head takes a picture that you will never forget that picture. And in future, it can bring it back. And you think, whoa, where'd that come from? But you see, the devil can't remind you with anything unless you have seen it. Unless you've allowed your eyes to gaze on it. And that's why the Bible says, be careful what you let in these eyes, because it's locked forever in here. Forever. And today, with our cell phones and the stuff that's available and stuff that pops up on our phones that is evil and that's, you know, it's perverted. Do you know that every time you see that, your brain takes a picture of it and the enemy can use it? Well, I mean, God created you. God made you. Don't you think that when the Word of God goes in, and even though you don't have a clue what you just read, your spirit knows everything you read. Your spirit is joined together with the Spirit of Jesus. It is the Word, that light. And then later in life, when you need a word, that word will come up. That has happened to me so many times that I've been in prayer and all of a sudden there's a word. There's something the Holy Spirit says to me and I'm thinking to myself, is that a scripture? And so I just leave everything and I run to my concordance and I start looking it up and there it is. And I'm thinking, okay, I didn't know that scripture, but the Lord, I obviously read it one time during my wanderings through the Bible and my spirit picked it up. And when I had need of it, the Holy Spirit brought it back to my remembrance. That's why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance everything that I've said. But you've got to read it first. Okay? And so so even though we might be up against something that is not, we know the enemy flees because this is a light on the inside of us. And so when problems come our way, it's not always from the enemy. There's not a devil behind every bush. Right? There's times it is spiritual, it's caused by an evil spirit, but then there's times it's just because of the natural discourse of things. We're living in a natural body that has fallen and decayed, and so in the natural, unless you speak words of life over your body, it's a dying. That's just, everything's passing away. And so things happen. Things come our way just because we live in this fallen world and in a fallen body. And so, but it doesn't matter whether it's a spirit, an evil spirit that's attacking you, or whether it's just a matter of this is just life, right? We have the answer. We have the answer. It's the Word of God. Because every time we use the name of Jesus, the whole Word backs us. The Bible tells us that at that name, everything that has a name must bow. But when you use the name of Jesus, you have to understand behind that name is all the power of the whole full Word of God. You know, we take little bits and pieces when we take one scripture. How about the whole thing coming together at once? That's what the name of Jesus is. And that's why it's so offensive when we use the name of Jesus in a cussing way. If we only knew what that name represents. So every time we use that name. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, we're going to close with this one. It says, my son, give attention unto my word. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life unto you who find them, and they are health to all of your flesh. This is the word of God. So in these last days, we know that we are living in troublesome times. And according to the scriptures, things are only going to get worse. And right before our very eyes, we are seeing prophecies fulfilled that have been predicted thousands of years ago. The prophecies of the book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel. We're starting to see everything come together, aligning with what they predicted. And that's just amazing. In fact, there's not one prophecy in the Bible that never came to pass. When you start studying prophecy. And as the children of the Lord, as children of the light, we need to give the more earnest heed to God's word in these last days. It is the only thing that we really have that gives us hope in this dark world. You know, without the word of God, you and I wouldn't even be children of God. How did you and I get saved? We heard the gospel message. We believed what we heard. And we spoke it out. That's how you live by faith. You hear the word of God, or you read it, or whatever, however you want to consume it. Nowadays, it's so easy. You can put a CD in, or like I say, put your headphones on. You can be listening to God's word all day long. And you believe it because it's God's word. It's truth. It's the only truth there is. And you speak it. That's what we must do going forward in these last days when things are so dark. It's the same way we got saved. It's going to be the same way that we become healed, that we continue to experience and enjoy life. Life is in the Word. There is no life anywhere else. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He was referring to himself as being the living Word. And so we need to be diligent in that. You know, we all want to, when we stand before the Lord, we all want to know that we lived for His honor and that we gave honor. You know, I always say the greatest honor that we give to a person is to, number one, give attention to their words. Make much. When you make much of somebody's word, you're making much of the person. Understand? But if you just like, nah, he's a liar, I don't believe anything he says or whatever, how does that make you feel? It disesteems you. It belittles you. And even with God, all he's asking, all he's ever wanted was for us to trust him, to believe his word. And because man didn't understand that God and his word are one, we violate it. You know, like we think lightly, we tread all over the word of God by not giving it importance in our life, by not handling it. Even the Bible says, the apostles say, we handled this word with such gentle, like it was almost like they were afraid to touch the word because they understood the power in it. They understood that this word is God. I'm dealing with God here. And so, of course, being a teacher of God's word, you have to understand when I approach the word too, it's the same way. It's like, help me, Lord, not speak anything that's not truth. And so I'm trying to create in your heart an understanding of the power of the word, the importance of the word, and how we're all given the same 24 hours in a day, the same opportunity. It's time to pick up our Bibles and read. Just read. It's not like you have to do anything with that word. Just begin to read. Ask the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes. And if you are facing a problem, use the word. If you don't know which weapon to use, go to someone who does know and write that scripture down. I'll never forget when Justin, my second oldest, was up against something. I'm not even sure what it was back in the day, but he understood this message. And so he, back in that day, we had wood in his bathroom. What kind of wood was it again? Can't remember. Cedar, and the whole bathroom. And so he had little nails pounded in all of this wood with little paper scriptures written all around his mirror. And you know, so he understood. He kept that word in front of his eye. It was important because he knew that that was life. And he walked by faith in that sense that every morning he was reading the word of God, even if it was nailed to his wall. And so, you know, whatever. However it works for you. Some people go to bed and have a tape recorder playing the word of God. But remember, use the word in your own life. You know, there's testimonies after testimonies of people who have heard the word, who have spoken the word, who have tried the word, and they're like shocked. Oh my goodness, this happened or that happened. You know, God's word, it's not you. It's God's word that brings life. It's God's word that works for you, right? But you need to honor it. You need to esteem it very highly and not to speak it just, you know, like it's not a common word. You know, we treat it as if it's common. It is not common. It is the power of, if you want to, in your mind, remember what it is, think of God and the power of God and the fact that we can't even see his face and live. That's the word. That's the same power that the word has. And so let's treat it with honor and respect, and let's fight for the word, because there's a lot of lies going on right now, even in the church. Let's know what the truth says. Let's stand up for God. That's how you defend the Lord and the faith. You stand up for the truth of the word in your life. Amen? And God will honor that. So let's close in communion.